Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for this gift of baptism and our renewal for Christ's own baptism. And we ask that you would baptize us once again with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts this day to the word you would have us hear, that we might be transformed as your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today, as we mark the baptism of Jesus and renew our own baptismal vows, it's so fitting that we baptized Eliza Redmond. I love this family. Her dad, Nick Redmond, has been a colleague and friend as associate pastor for the last few years, but Eliza's mother, Kimberly, well, I've known her since she was a kid. She grew up in my previous church in Clarendon Hills, where she babysat for my daughter, Annie. And Kimberly's mother, Cindy, who's with us today, was then and is now director of children's ministry at that church. It was Cindy, and later Deb Helms, who's here too, the youth director, it was they who made sure that my daughter grew up knowing the love of God in Jesus Christ and equipping all of the congregation to know how to do that too. And Kimberly's dad, Bruce, he was a wonderful man, solid in faith, humble in attitude, never took himself too seriously. He was a gentle, gentle man in the strongest sense of the word. Sadly, he died when his two girls, Kimberly and Emily, were still too young. I conducted his funeral. And I know that he is here in spirit right now, beaming at his granddaughter's baptism. And I just wish he were here in flesh and blood as well. Why does baptism matter? Every time we baptize a baby, even ones who squirm and cry, it reminds us that God chose us before we had any awareness of God, long before we knew we were loved, long before we had done anything good enough to win God's affection, long before we had done anything bad enough to cause God's consternation. Baptizing a baby reminds us that God's love isn't dependent on our achievements or failures, on our righteousness or our sin. God's love is here for us no matter what. This gift of grace, the gift of God's unqualified love for us, is ours today and always. And because love is sometimes hard to believe when it's mere words or feelings or ideas, because love is hard to trust until it shows up in flesh and blood, God put that love in human form in Jesus Christ so that we might hear and see and feel God's love to really know it. So Christ came and showed us God's love in 1,000 concrete ways. Jesus humbled himself so that we might learn humility. Jesus taught in synagogues so that we might cherish Scripture too. God reached out to the outcast so that when we feel rejected, we know we still belong. Jesus healed the sick so that we might know that God desires our wholeness. Jesus wept over the dead so that we might feel God's deep compassion. God led his disciples so that we might learn how to walk in his ways. And if all that weren't enough, instead of fighting enemies with clubs and swords, Jesus embodied God's way of peace and reconciliation, not just turning the other cheek, but giving his very life for us, showing the world just how much stronger God's love is than all the violence and hatred and corruption we could ever manufacture. That's the witness of the cross and resurrection. That God's love is stronger than hate. That life is stronger than death. that humility is stronger than pride, that peace is stronger than violence, that God's grace is stronger, so much stronger than all the sin we might create. There are so many people who still don't know this, but words alone and feelings alone and ideas alone are hard to trust. The love of God has to be embodied to be real. We know that Jesus is here with us in spirit, but sometimes we wish that he were here for us in flesh and blood still too. So who will manifest the love of God to the world? Who will do it? It is up to us now, improbable as that may feel. It is through us and through our example in our daily lives, at school, at work, in our homes and church. It is through us and our example that God still embodies his great love. Imperfect as we are, it is we, Jesus' followers, who are sent out into the world to show God's love. That's the message that St. Paul delivers in our second lesson. Listen to his words in 2 Corinthians 5 now. The love of Christ urges us on because he has died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. And if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting that message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, in just a few minutes, we're going to be renewing our own baptismal vows. We'll claim again the love of God, that love that embraces us no matter what. And we'll claim again our calling to be Christ's ambassadors, Jesus' presence in our very world. What does it mean to be Christ's ambassador? The Apostle Paul says that above all, it is a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of reconciliation. In the weeks ahead, we'll be exploring more about what that means. But for now, I'm helped by Earl Palmer, pastor emeritus at University Church in Seattle, who reminds us that the word reconciliation, katalasso in Greek, literally means catalyst. Catalyst. Ministry of reconciliation means a ministry of being a catalyst in the world. In other words, we're called to follow in Christ's footsteps to be catalysts, to bring people together back to God and together with one another. Palmer goes on to say this: we're entrusted with the assurance of reconciliation. Jesus tells his disciples to stand in place with cheek exposed to the angry face of hostility, to love those who are considered enemies, to pray for God's forgiveness of one's own trespasses, and to ask for the strength to forgive those who trespass against them. Jesus doesn't advise avoidance. He encourages us to talk through the crisis or offense that's causing harm and to find a better way, a better way that would be good for each other. What a different model than the ways of this world. Sometimes, too often, we forget how great a responsibility we've taken on as we take on Christ's name as Christians. But the horrific events this week in France remind us just how easy it is for a whole religion to be tainted with the brush of the worst who claim its name. Hezbollah, of all groups, said that radical Islamists do more damage to the reputation of Muhammad than any terrible comics. I think they're right. But the question for us is this: how are we representing Christ to the world? Radical Islamists are doing damage to the reputation of Muhammad. What are we doing for the reputation of Christ? What are we doing for the reputation of Christ? If you were the only Christian someone met, if you were the only Christian someone met, what would that tell that person about Jesus? Are we embodying his humility and courage? Are we embracing Scripture as our guide and wrestling with what it means? Are we showing compassion to the broken and welcoming the stranger? Honestly, if someone walked into this sanctuary on any given Sunday, would kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, and all the other gifts of the Spirit be obvious here? Would people feel different? Would they know they had come into God's presence in this place, not because of how beautiful the music is or eloquent the sermon, but would they know God's presence through all of you, all of us who are gathered here? Would people long to be part of this community, aware of how alive and well Christ's presence is in us? That's my hope for us as a church, as a people. We are, Scripture tells us, ambassadors for Christ. It is up to us now to embody the love of God. It's hard to know love when it's just a feeling or a word or an idea. Love has to be put in flesh and blood. Bruce Frost was the kind of man whom you felt embodied God's love. I pray we will be too, for his granddaughter's Eliza's sake, for the world's sake, for the sake of the reconciling love of God made real to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.